if we are living out our life in a God-like manner, if we're showing God to others, shouldn't we forgive others like He's forgiven? I mean, if God has forgiven every sin of yours, shouldn't you forgive in the same manner?
Hello, this is Mark Black. I just wanted to thank you for joining us in this series entitled Living Out Love. The world is confused about love and human relationships. And until we understand love, we will never understand God, who is love. Join us as we examine this topic so that the world may know us by our love. And may we live in the power of God as we journey through this life.
Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times."
And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Well, today we don't have a PowerPoint. It didn't want to work. Every once in a while something like that happens. And so we're going to have to really listen today. And I'm going to have to watch what I do. I'll move a little bit slower when it comes to those scriptures if you want to look them up. Wasn't that a beautiful song?
Amen.
No matter what I've done, He comes to me. And He loves me. How beautiful that is. Let's pray together. Father God, as we come to You right now, open our ears for Your word. Open our hearts, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And Lord, may the truth be spoken today. May Your love be felt, and may You move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, from 1 John, we learned that the Christian lives out love because Christ lives in us, right? We learned that the Spirit of God lives in us, and God is love. And so love lives in us. But you know, the problem that happens is along the line, the world redefines love, doesn't it? It redefines us, and it makes confusion about what love is all about. And I found out that even as a Christian, sometimes I've become confused, and I said, that is not love, and I need to redefine my definition according to the Word of God. So Paul, in 1 Corinthians 13, he defines love. He gives us a clear picture. And from the previous sermons, we've learned that love is patient, and love is kind, and love does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it is not rude or self-seeking. And today we're going to learn that it is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrong. Those two things. Let's look first at is not easily angered. Okay? Let's look at that. Have you ever known someone that got, well, so angry at the slightest thing? Yep. You've been around them and it feels like you're walking on eggshells because you're afraid that you might say something and kaboom, things will explode. You're walking on eggshells. By the way, that phrase came from the 1800s. Did you know that? Walking on eggshells. It's been said this, that the test of a man would be if he could keep his head when everyone else was losing theirs and blaming it on him, and if he was hated, he did not give way to hating. That takes a lot of self-control, doesn't it? It takes a lot of love. That is the test of a man. In our society, I realize that anger has been glorified in movies. Have you ever noticed that? Blow them up, get even, shoot them up, revenge. And we clap and we get excited when the revenge takes place. And I've noticed that there is a direct correlation between easily angered, and by the way, anger itself is not wrong. Did you know that? But this thing of easily angered has some problems with it. That a person that is easily angered is probably a person that's dwelt on wrongs that have been done to them. And they dwell on that. It's that it's been committed against them. They become easily angered. It's a button. Someone pushes the button and they get angry. Bang! You see, these people cannot move on in life. They get stuck there. They hold a grudge. And the anger stops their spiritual growth. And the anger stops their love. In fact, fits of rage develop. And that's a sign, people, of not living in God's Spirit, but living in the flesh. That is a sign of living in the flesh. That's why right after not easily angered, it says keeps no record of wrongs. Sometimes it's a hard thing not to keep a record of wrongs, right? I've been there. We, as human beings, are really good at keeping records, aren't we? Yeah, we're good at taking records. But I think that there is a direct correlation between the two. And I want us to take a look at this, keeps no records of wrongs. Turn with me to Matthew 18. And I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to turn to Matthew 18. Okay? Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Interesting passage. We took a look at that when Ed read that. It says, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he has sinned against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now that's an interesting thing. That's the point of my second point. How many times do I forgive? Well, for Peter, he thought he was being very gracious when he said seven times. And everyone is supposed to stand back and go, wow. Now, Jesus said 77 times. Where'd he come up with that? Have you ever wondered? 77 times? Well, the rabbis taught that you could forgive three times. Well, that's kind of what we do, isn't it? Three times? You know, don't we have a saying, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me? We had a president got all confused about that saying. I remember that. He says, meaning that I shouldn't be foolish to be fooled twice, you know, or I don't get mad. I get, yeah, even. Oh boy, what the world teaches us, right? And we take that. And Peter thought he was being gracious by saying seven times. That's the amount the rabbis, that's double the amount the rabbis would say, plus one more for good measure. But Jesus said 77 times. You know, in the book of Genesis, and you don't have to turn to it, but in Genesis 4:23, it talked about Lamech. He had killed a man for wounding him and a boy for striking him. And he made this statement. Remember Cain who killed Abel, his brother? He said, if Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech, meaning him, 77 times. He said, that's what I deserve. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, forgive 77 times? The number of 77 times is great, is a number that was given for punishment, but Jesus uses it for a number for forgiveness. The forgiveness of one another should always be extended without the record keeping. Now, does that mean we shouldn't be cautious? I mean, have you ever met someone that you thought, woo, I'm not going to get involved in that again? No. I think that's wisdom, okay? But in the idea of forgiveness, there should not be any record keeping. You may not want to trust someone. That would be a wise thing to do. But forgiveness should always, always be extended. Record keeping can make us not only easily angered, but it can make us bitter. And it can eat in our soul and make a hole there. And we can become bitter. I want us to look at how God forgives. Let's meditate on that right now. Just stop and think. Turn to God shows us in His Word. So let's turn to His Word in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 14 and 15. Okay. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. Did you catch that? And this is spoken right after the Lord's Prayer. And we prayed that prayer, didn't we, today? We prayed, forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You're going to be forgiven by God by how you forgive others. Stop and think about that. How many sins has God forgiven you? Yeah. Can you count them? Could there be one, just one sin that you only sinned once in your life? I don't think so. I know some of you. No. You haven't just sinned one time in your life. Or two, or three, or 100, or 5,000. And I did a little thing of, if I sinned, I forget how many times, there was 23,000 sins in my lifetime. And I thought, well, that's not enough sins. I need to put a little more in there. What about 100,000 or 1,000,000? How many will He forgive you? All of them. Christian, is there any sin that God will not forgive you? Well, there is one. And it's called the unpardonable sin. And people get frightened about that many times because they say, I think I might have done that. And if you're thinking I might have done that, you didn't do that. Okay. Let's look at that unpardonable sin. Okay? And let's look here just for a second. But I wanna emphasize this. If we are living out our life in a godlike manner, if we're showing God to others, shouldn't we forgive others like He's forgiven? I mean, if God has forgiven every sin of yours, shouldn't you forgive in the same manner? Now that's something, people, that needs to be done quickly, right? In fact, turn with me again to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24. Interesting scripture. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. first go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. You see, worshiping God involves forgiveness, doesn't it? Look at verse 25. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. So there's an urgency there that it needs to be done quickly. Forgiveness should be first nature of a Christian. Don't you agree with that? I mean, if God immediately forgives our sins, then we need to. In fact, people, life is too short to be caught in a trap of bitterness. It is too short to be caught in a trap of anger. It is too short. Jesus wants to free us of that through the way of love and also the way of forgiveness. Now, I've got to mention one more thing, and that was that unforgivable sin, unpardonable sin. That's found in Matthew 12. And let's look at verse 31. But let's get an idea of what's going on here, because it's very important that we understand what's happening in this particular chapter. In this chapter, Jesus has done miracles, and the Pharisees absolutely, positively refuses to believe in him, so much that they said the miracles that he does is through Beelzebub, through Satan. He is possessed. And when Jesus makes this statement in chapter 12, verse 31, he says this, "And I tell you, and I so tell you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." So what is that? What is this unforgivable sin? Well, let's take a look of what God's Holy Spirit was trying to accomplish. God's Holy Spirit, through the miracles that Christ was doing, through the testimony and the pleadings, pointed to Jesus as the Savior. Pointed to Jesus, his testimony said, "Here is your Savior." But the Pharisees refused to their death to accept Jesus as Savior. Absolutely refused the testimony of God's Holy Spirit. They refused that testimony to their death. They no longer remain for them forgiveness of sins. Because without Jesus, there is no forgiveness of sins. He is the way and the only way. Amen? Amen. They blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Their heart would never, never believe in Jesus regardless of God's Holy Spirit's pleading. And the powerful work of God's Holy Spirit was called by them the work of Satan. Wow. They went to their death not believing. Do you know what the beautiful thing is about God? God will forgive a person if he said he didn't believe in Jesus and he changed his heart. Wouldn't he? Yeah, I'm an example of that. Paul was an example of that, was he not? He persecuted Christians. He killed them. But on the road to Damascus, he was struck down by a great light. That light was Jesus. And Paul was converted, and he became a Christian. A great evangelist. You and I are probably here because of the work of Paul. So brothers and sisters, that great work in your life and that Holy Spirit that is pleading and telling you about Jesus Christ, believe it. You know, there's an old story about the ark and Noah. And it says, in the morning when the ark door was opened, an observer might see a pair of golden eagles in the sky. But glancing downward, one might see creeping along a pair of snails. Or a pair of snakes. Or worms. Now, I always hope that Noah didn't fish, because we needed those worms, okay? And they have multiplied since then. There were pairs of creeping creatures as well as pairs of flying creatures. But you know what? There was only one entrance for all of them. The eagle must come down to enter, and the worm must crawl up to get in. So it is with us people. When we were in Israel, we went to Bethlehem. And in order to go into that building, you have to kneel down to get in the door. The Bible says that every knee is going to bow. Amen. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Brothers and sisters, that's the beauty of God's forgiveness and His love. It's extended to everyone, regardless of what your past may have been. He forgives, and He loves, and He offers eternal life to everyone. Well, those Pharisees, they could have had eternal life, but they chose never to believe in Jesus. How sad. How sad. We're the church, and the Bible is our guide, and love is in us. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 5 is an interesting passage. It says this: follow God's example in verse 1. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us, gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How beautiful the way of love is. How free it can make us feel to forgive. We do not need to be entrapped by bitterness. But if we live in the way of love, it will truly set us free. Say, Mark, how do you do that? Well, the Bible's very clear. To accept Jesus Christ, you need to believe in Him. That starts the journey. Amen?
Amen.
You begin in that faith, in that belief of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you need to confess Him. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, he will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. And we need to confess Him. And we need to repent of our sins. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, He changes your life. He really does. Jesus Christ has changed everyone's life that He has truly began a relationship with. And you need to be baptized. Remember when Ananias came to Paul? He says, why tarriest thou? King James Version. Why tarriest thou? arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. And then the Bible says that we walk in the way of love, that newness of life. Amen?
Amen.
How beautiful that is. Maybe there's someone here today that you need to start that journey. And I'm going to ask the group come forward. You need to start that journey. And you'd like to start that journey. It'll be a journey that will give you all kinds of blessings and all kinds of challenges. Because let me tell you, Satan doesn't like it when one comes to the Lord. And he'll challenge that. But maybe there's someone here too that you want to serve God and you want to serve Him with a group of believers in Jesus Christ. Well, I've got the great church, you know, that I know about. It's right here. It's called Beechwood Christian Church.
On Easton.
On Easton, right. And so I, like Ananias, said, well, why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on? Come and allow God's Holy Spirit to work in your life to make you strong and submit to Him. And brother and sister, if anyone's out here and they haven't given up a particular incident, whether they're refusing to forgive, oh, please give it up. You know, there's a song I thought we should sing called Let It Go. Just let it go. Let go of it and give it to Jesus. Let's stand together.
Thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We hope that you will join us for worship at Beechwood Christian Church, located at 12950 Easton Street, Northeast, Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. Our Bible study begins at 9:30 a.m. Sundays, and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning. Please join us, and once again, thank you for listening. May God bless you and your family. May we look for the coming of the King. Come, Lord Jesus.